He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and principal of pretense.
Principal of pretense. Wow. Look at this. And he is Aubrey Goodman, web services, iOS, and all things dev and information architect and all other things of that manner. An orator of objectivity. And I don't know if that means you're objective. You're objective or objectionable, but it's one of the two.
I'm going to go with both.
Objectively objectionable. And this is a show we call Distilled. Welcome in. If you want to connect with us online, you can do so on Twitter at JWD2A. That's me. I know it's horrible. Sorry. Aubrey is at Aubrey Goodman, like most sensible names are. Mm. You can find this on Podomatic or iTunes. Just search for Distilled. And if you want to hear something on the show specifically, just tweet it with hashtag Distilled Topics, and we will find it. I need to check that hashtag, by the way.
Say that every week.
I know.
And I check it every week.
Have you checked it today?
I haven't checked it.
We had a lot of downloads.
We did.
And so I'm just wondering if perhaps somebody has finally used that hashtag, because
I used it.
Well, that doesn't count. Nope. No results found.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, get on it, people. That's it. So.
Yeah, when you don't use that, we are left to our own devices to come up with topics.
Yeah,
so. Exactly.
You realize this is the second podcast I've done today.
Yeah, I do.
Podcast this morning.
I was there for that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
I just wasn't behind a mic.
God, Lord.
I was in the audience for that one. I had a little podcast with Commissioner Mark Sharp here, yep. Hillsborough County Commissioner, who is really excited about the startup community and, just making Tampa a better place to live.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Talked about Startup Bus and what's happening in the community here. I don't even know the name of the show.
I don't know that there is one. I think it's just Mark Sharp's Friday podcast.
Oh, well, that's good. I think he tweeted it.
Did he?
I'll see what he called
it.
That's sweet. Startup Tampa Bay. That's what it's called.
Oh, was it? Okay.
As we tee up this exciting episode of oration.
Mm. So today's topic is a sort of an absolutism, I think.
Absolutism.
Yeah, which is to say that I had a friend send me a link to a blog post. Not entirely certain that I remember when it was written, but it doesn't matter. It's about this little idea that if someone is not excited about you, your product, your business, whatever it is, then they're on the fence. That means it's a no. So There's a handful of different ways to say this. The article was titled fuck yes or no.
Right.
And I like to say, for the family friendly audience that we have just alienated,
you can now unplug the kids' ears.
Yeah. It would be, they're either all in or not in at all.
Indeed.
And so.
Indeed. That's right.
We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Good. So what does this mean? I mean, all in or not in at all regarding what?
Regarding you, your product, your company, your business, interacting with you in any way or your products. If it's a girlfriend and you're trying to date her and she's not excited about it, then it's a no.
Right.
If it's a prospective customer who needs to be wooed a lot,
then it's a no.
A no.
Right.
If it's a hire who is on the fence about accepting the offer, or vice versa, if it's an employer on the fence about giving an offer to you, whichever side of that you're on, it's a no.
Yeah. I think it's an important litmus test. This is the way, I mean, in life, it's the way to find the good relationships, the real good relationships.
Yes. Real is key there.
Yeah. In business, it's the way to build a real team.
Mm. Absolutely. You don't want people on your team constantly checking LinkedIn and monster.com for other opportunities.
Right.
That's that's 1 foot out the door already. You might as well put the other foot right on out.
Right.
Or not put either foot in to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you have customers or potential customers, it's a way to identify the ones that you should spend more time making happy instead of trying to convince the other ones that they should feel like, fuck yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a very interesting strategy. It certainly crystallizes action a lot better because I think we spend a lot of time. A lot of people spend a lot of time, and I'm going to speak as, at the customer level for now, trying to find ways to get all of your customers to love you. And the fact of the matter is that's sort of a futile thing because not all your customers are going to love you. And so it's sort of, this actually in a way is a variant on a book that was written called Now Discover Your Strengths, which was all about the myth of trying to improve your weaknesses. You shouldn't. You should try to find your strengths and make those stronger. Because trying to improve your weaknesses is just a stupid thing to do. You should patch it up to where it's not damaging to you, to where it doesn't sabotage other things. So read through a customer's eyes, that means to the customers that are hating you, you should try to make them at least calm down and not hate you. But to the customers that are sort of like, oh, you know, this is fine, but, you know, it's whatever, don't waste your time. Go find the ones that are passionate, assuming that there are some. If there aren't any, then figure out a new product.
Yeah, that's time to pivot.
Right. But if you can find a group that says, oh my God, I love this thing, I really love this, I'm going to advocate for you, do everything you can to make those people happier and build and find more of them, right? Instead of wasting your time trying to convince other people.
Absolutely. And I think when it comes down to the whole how do you find them question, well, frankly, if you don't have people, if you put the flag up and people see you, as long as you have a sort of minimum visibility in this context, or in this context, or in the dating context, frankly, if they know about you through the context of their daily life, through their viral marketing or natural organic search, you know, just naturally how people interact and, you know, word of mouth and all that stuff, people know of you, they know of their friend who has, you know, maybe has some interest in your product, and so they talk about your product. If the person they're talking to is like, yeah, I don't know, that's kind of nice, I guess, I don't know if I would really want to, you know, get into yet another app with yet another login and blah, 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 all the various reasons people say no without saying no, over, you know, as soon as you start encountering that stuff, it's like, okay, cool, whatever, I'll go on to someone who's like actually excited about this.
Right.
So
you're going to waste your time.
You're already wasting your time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And,
theirs. And,
as the old saying goes, or as the saying I heard goes, that I love, those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still.
Yeah.
And it's very true, right?
Indeed. Yeah. I like that.
You can't lead them into loving you.
No.
Right?
And if you do, it's probably addiction.
Probably.
And that definitely is true for relationships. When you woo someone into a relationship that they're on the fence about from the beginning, the chances are the thing that won them is their own addiction issue on some level.
Either addiction issue or satisfying some gap that has nothing to do with you, but has to do with a dependency issue.
Again,
like that.
Addiction.
Well, that's
you're sort of describing addiction,
sorry.
Justin.
Yeah, I guess. dependency, or, you know, you're extremely lonely and anyone will do.
Right.
Right, type of thing.
And so that's not a position of respect. Just like I'm extremely bored and any video streaming service will do. I don't care about Netflix. Right. I don't care about Amazon Prime. The brand is irrelevant. All I care about is the actual content.
Right.
Not even that. Actually, the only thing I care about is not being bored.
Yep.
So in that context, and of course, none of that applies to me personally. I am a Netflix fan through and through. And see, I know where I stand on this one. I'm not I don't know if there was a cheaper service. I don't give a damn how much it costs. I love Netflix. So it's a fuck yes for me.
Right. Whereas I'm kind of like, okay, I guess I'll take it. Whatever.
See, I'm that way about Xbox. I'm like, Xbox is all right. But
The Xbox, I'm like, what? What? Xbox?
Right. So you're also a no.
I'm also a no. Yeah. I'm no about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about this, though, is that...
That's good, though. Isn't that the ideal case? You're only excited about things that are awesome.
That's true.
So you're only going to be a yes.
Unless you're not excited about anything. then you're just an asshole.
Or dead, I guess.
Or dead, I guess, yeah.
That's true.
Or a dead asshole. An asshole. Maybe an asshole is someone who is dead inside.
The best asshole is a dead asshole.
Ooh.
Only
dead on the outside, though.
Only dead on the outside.
Because they're already dead on the inside.
Where's the rim shot?
We both look over at the drum set, which is covered by...
That's interesting. That's interesting. So, yeah, that's interesting.
You mentioned that.
Cool. I was going to say something to the that was probably going to be random, but I was mulling over my head about when people are fuck yeah and what makes people fuck yeah. Now, obviously, we spend our whole life trying to figure that out, right? But one of the things
I mean,
if you're a product designer, you try to spend your whole professional life trying to figure out what makes people say fuck yeah.
What I mean. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not what makes you say fuck yeah about something.
That hopefully you understand quite intuitively. Or at least maybe you don't understand, but you at least, I have no idea.
I mean, I would hope so. Yeah. I have a hard time relating to people who don't know what they want.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It's interesting, you know, because there are circumstantial pieces that can make people either fuck yeah or fuck no, right? Like, or fuck yeah or no.
Yeah.
Sort of taking it to the real extreme.
I mean, it is sort of that anyway.
It's it's like if there was no such thing as video streaming except for Netflix, I would probably be fuck yeah, because I'd be like, of course. I mean, that's awesome.
So that's a de facto fuck yeah.
De facto fuck yeah, because they're the only one.
So that's just a yeah, because there isn't a no.
Right, yeah, exactly.
No would be to say I don't want streaming video service.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so that's a first to market kind of thing. I mean, same thing with dating, right? Like, if you're the only guy and there's a sea of women,
that sounds terrifying.
They're going to be like, fuck yeah, it doesn't matter what you look like.
Yeah, and that's a fake fuck yeah.
Right. Yeah.
These are
and an estrogen ocean to boot.
Yeah, and again, terrifying. Mm.
Yeah, you're not going to come back from those waves.
And again, folks, dirty jokes redacted.
Yes.
We can grow up.
All of our female listenership has just left.
Let's hope not.
So funny. So, that is that.
So, identifying how other people come to say this, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard, right? I mean, there's so many intangible qualities that make that happen. That, I mean, obviously, if we knew that, then it would be game over. Like, we would all be sitting on top of mountains of gold.
Well, I think, though, this is an indicative reality. We're saying we don't know. You know what? We can't predict with any level of accuracy whether or not someone will say fuck yes,
true,
or simply no, true, or basically anything that isn't fuck yes.
Right.
And I think this is actually a kind of a nice parallel to something that we use in software design called test-driven development, where you assert something and then you test it and you see if it works. So maybe we assert that someone will have a fuck yeah attitude. Like, we have this sort of hope before we share it with them, whatever some piece of information you're introducing yourself to someone, you're introducing your product, you're trying to advertise, whatever that is. There's this sort of test attitude where you say, I'm going to ask what you want, or I'm going to say, here's what I have, or here's what I think we'll do, and you tell me, you know, a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Right.
Is my assertion. My assertion is that you want to go to this movie that I like tonight. So I will ask you to the movie. And, I mean, not you, but you're married and, well. Someone I might ask to a film. If they say yes, then there's my answer. If they're like, well, I don't know, maybe I... Then there's my other answer.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't get the answer until you ask.
Right. Don't hold out hope. Hope is...
And don't not have hope.
And don't not have hope.
Because then you manifest the very answer that you probably didn't want in the first place.
Right. Yes. Very true.
If you never ask, you'll always get a no.
Yeah. That's very true. You know what's interesting is why... When you said test-driven development, I immediately started thinking about test cases and assertions and all this kind of thing. User experience designers advocate for this very, very avidly, which is go put things in front of users and see how it's working before you actually build it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. There's a lot of pushback in lots of areas for that. What's interesting is that test-driven software development has become... I wouldn't say the standard way of writing software, but it definitely has become one of the de facto ways that you write software, right?
Yeah.
And considered an industry best practice.
Like, oh, absolutely.
People who don't know how to do test-driven development or don't actually practice test-driven development are probably looked at as not really up on their craft.
Yeah, bottom 50th percentile.
Right.
For
What's
sure.
interesting is that we don't hold the same standard of people building products at all.
Hmm.
At all.
No,
In
you're
fact,
right.
We even find excuses not to do it. I mean, why don't we just walk out on the street and say, here's my product idea. Tell me. Like, does assert excited or no? Right? And then when they're just like, eh.
False.
Like, assert fuck yeah. Right? I think I'm going to write a blog post called Assert Fuck Yeah. Right? And so then it's like, okay, so we failed the test. Iterate until you get the right response. And then boom, now we know exactly. Now the test passes. Now we go build.
Mm.
Why don't we do that?
Well, I think that's tricky because that test is very specific. That assertion is, do you like this?
Right.
So you have to now make 50 billion test cases. Great.
Well.
So it's, the thing is, it's not a different test in each case. The only thing that's different is the audience, the observer, the recipient of the answer or the question.
For the first one.
Well, I've said this for years. There's like, who cares about the few customers you alienate? There's a million other ones right behind them,
right?
I don't mean to sound callous, but if you're not exciting your users with your features, find other people who are excited.
Right.
I mean, no, if you're not exciting any of your users, then that's your fault, that you're the one, you know, who needs to change in that regard. But it's also very easy to just find other customers.
Right.
They're everywhere.
True. Assuming that you have any. Assuming
well,
there are
yeah.
any. I mean.
But exactly. Yeah. If you're asserting that, if you're making some new assertion about a business model, a business case, something that you've never proven before, as we've talked about many times, this is a standard practice of all entrepreneurial endeavors. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a different kind of assertion. So I'm talking about finding the people who want your product by simply asking everyone. And when they don't say, fuck yes, move the fuck on.
To the next group.
to the next million.
Right.
You say, I mean, it's a lot of asking, but...
It's true.
This is basic, simple math, like advertising logic 101.
Basically this is advertising.
Right.
And marketing.
But the point is, I guess, to take it to the next level with the advertising idiom... When you put your ad in front of somebody and they click on something, that is not a fuck yeah. That is I was at least somewhat inspired by your product. If you then sell them more information, you tell them more about your product, they don't have like just 120 words or 15 words or whatever the ad has in it,
right.
You know, 20 seconds on the radio. you know, they're not going to get a full great picture of how closely they resonate with your product from that. It's just a carrot. It's just an impression. Literally, it is. That's why they call it an impression, because it is an impression. They see something and they feel a certain thing based on the copy that they see. So when they come to you after they take action on the impression, that's the first step. That's not the fuck yeah. That's the maybe.
Right.
The step after that is the most important step.
Yes.
And that's why bounce rate is so important with web traffic. If you have 50% bounce rate, you're doing something wrong. My bounce rate on most of my websites is 75. So I know quite a lot about doing it wrong.
Well, you're doing one of two things wrong. Either you're asking the wrong group or you're saying the wrong thing.
Or both.
Right.
Which I believe to be true in my case. But I'm not a marketer. I'm a technologist. I know something about behavioral psychology. I know something about, copywriting and you know, pleasant aesthetic writing. But I am not a marketer by trade. I don't know the ins and outs of all the various ways that we might be able to succeed in these endeavors. What I'm really saying is that first step after the maybe is the most important. So you meet somebody new, you talk to them for a little while, they seem interesting, you ask them for their phone number and they say, well, or like they don't say, yeah, totally, yeah, let me give you that. I'd love to, you know, catch up later. If it's a friend, if it's a possible, you know, romantic interest or a business relationship or even a customer relationship. In all of those cases, the behavioral dynamics are the same. Right. If they aren't excited, move on.
Yes. Don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's so hard to take that advice, though.
It is hard to take that because you think...
So many times.
Because you make the mistake that either you haven't said it right, that they would be excited if you could just say it.
You could just find different words.
Right.
But the problem is that you only really have that first impression. What they feel of you is I said this in that same blog post. In the individual case, yes, you get one impression.
Yes.
The first one.
Yeah.
The only thing about that the conversation that generally surrounds the you only get one impression so you have to make, you know, put your best foot forward argument is that is true with each person.
Yes.
So if you fail epically with one person, there's a million other people.
Yeah. And
move
this
on.
Is frankly, I mean, in the context
not the big
of
deal.
Business, and I guess you could also say personal, although usually, except in maybe a speed dating instance, this doesn't necessarily apply. But this is why it's so important to get your elevator to fuck yeah worthy, elevator pitch to fuck yeah worthy very quickly, because that's what you have. Or if you have a pitch, to get the first slide to fuck yeah ready, not, hi there, my name is so-and-so, I'm going to be talking to you today about product X.
What?
Exactly. You have to get to fuck yeah as soon as possible. Because the longer you wait to get to fuck yeah, the less likely you'll ever get to fuck yeah.
I'm not sure that that's necessarily true. I tend to agree.
I mean, I don't know.
But I think it's more about choosing to spend your energy towards something that you haven't tried before, in the sense that you can spend your time connecting with that person in an effort to convey, not convince, convey the true intent of your pitch.
Right.
You can take time to understand them better, to ask them questions about their attitude, their worldview, that will help you to control the copy that you give them, that helps them to maximize their ability to perceive you or your brand or whatever it is that you are pitching in the light that you wish them to see, in the sense that you can tailor that impression a little better the more you know that person. But you can't spend a month getting to know somebody before you tell them about something. because that month you spend could have been spent talking to 50 people a day and getting that many more interested conversations, that many more potential fuck yeahs.
Right.
So.
Yes.
There's a volume issue. Again, it's just like advertising. There's a volume issue here. And the harder you spend, the harder you try to sell one person, the more you exhaust yourself per person. I mean, sorry, that sounds like is a truism, really, but it's real.
But it is a truism.
You know, you fight, and it's hard. But
right. You
talk, and people are cool about it, and it's easy. So go where it's easy.
Yeah.
don't fight so hard for something, because there's so many other people out there that might want it. Unless you're in the edge case and you're testing something new and you don't know if anyone would like it. But that's when you have to take the outcome out of the equation and simply learn. Like your actions are not at that point dictated by the individual outcomes. Because you're saying, would you use this? And people say, maybe. But the would you use this and will you use this are very, very different questions.
They're very different. And would you and okay, do it are very, uh-huh. I mean, people are notoriously generous and don't want to hurt each other's feelings, usually, unless you're a sociopath.
Well, until money's on the line.
Until money's on the line, right? Yeah. And then you go, oh, well, then the excuses come out, right?
Yep.
And this is what salespeople deal with all the time.
All the time.
And this is why, frankly, focus groups to figure out if people would buy your product are a terrible idea. Because people are going to tell you that they will buy your product.
Yeah, they will always say yes.
But if you try to sell them,
some of them will say no.
They walk out of the door.
Almost all of them will say no.
All of them will say no.
Yeah.
Right?
20 to 1.
Right. And so the best way to find out if you have fuck yeah is to try to actually sell it to them, not ask them if they would buy it.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't ask if they, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just say, will you buy this and see what they say.
Yeah.
When they say, yeah, fuck yeah, you make money. When they say, I don't know, then you move on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or you try to figure out what you can do to get that person now to say fuck yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Either you can find a different customer or you can change your product to fit that customer.
Yeah. So as we're getting close to the end of this week's show, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk a little plug.
Okay.
On Wednesday, March 26th, here at Tampa Bay First Wave Venture Center, there's a TBTF event, that's a Tampa Bay Technology Forum, about learning from failure. As an entrepreneur, there will be a bunch of, or I guess a handful of us on the panel describing in hopefully hilarious detail our various failures. I say our because I'm on the panel.
Yeah.
Plug, plug, plug. So if you want to learn about, some more detail than we've gone into about my personal and professional failures, mostly professional, and those of others and how you can learn from those things and get better at this thing we call entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out. Again, it's here, 26th of March, in the evening. I think it starts at 5:30, but I might be wrong. There's a,
meetup for it
and some,
probably a Facebook event as well.
Yeah. And I think there's a TBTF events page also has gotcha. Details. It's part of the Engine Network, which is, a sustained campaign for the remainder of this year, and really it's been going on for almost a year now. The first event we had was April 3rd last year.
Do you make that up, or do you just remember that date?
I remember it, but for very different reasons.
Okay, gotcha.
Personal, in this case.
Okay.
It's 2 days after I lost my cat and the day I met my love.
Gotcha.
So, in this... I guess we'll close with this. The Engine Network is really a larger effort to try and get people engaged in learning more about technology, mobile development, social mobile payment space, and various angles on that. Whether it's making an app, conceiving an app, finding resources to build an app, launching an app, promoting an app, and then eventually. Selling an app and getting that out, out the door, as it were. So it's a really exciting thing. There's going to be some stuff with you know, Kids Hackathon over the summer, and some other great great events related. So
like it.
If you're into to what we talk about here, then you'll probably
like those events.
Yeah, you'll have a good time, and there's plenty of great people to meet there too.
Yeah, definitely.
So so that's it for our lovely little show. We love to call Distilled.
That's it. And we hope that you are with us and saying, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, folks. Thanks for listening.
Bye.